beg to differ.
All right, item three is our flag salute. We're very privileged this evening to have Boy Scout Troop 26 from Arroyo Grande here to lead us in the flag salute. And if you would please remain standing for our invocation. Pastor George Lepper is here from Peace Lutheran Church to provide our invocation this evening.
We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we do thank and praise you for bringing us here together safely. Bless this, our council meeting, and bless our council members. Grant them wisdom as to our leaders and the decisions that they face. We ask you also, Lord, to watch over and protect our fire and police officers and city workers, and be with those who serve in the armed forces, especially those who serve in harm's way. Help us, Lord, to work together to continue to make this city a better place to live. We ask this in the name in which we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Gentlemen, you know the ropes, right? You got to tell us what Troop 26 has been doing lately. Feel free to use the microphone. And we're real interested in hearing how Mr. Silva is treating you these days.
Okay, my name is Spencer Sterling, and I'm a member of Troop 26. I've been a member for 4 years, and this summer we're having a high adventure trek. This year we're going to Philmont. It's in New Mexico. We are going on a 57-mile trek through New Mexico, the Philmont Scouting Ranch, and we're going to be shooting rifles. And one of the things that they have there is the only T-Rex footprint in the entire world, so that's going to be kind of interesting. So, yeah.
Hi, I'm Joe Christensen. I'm a member of 226. I've been with the troop for about 5 or 6 years. Coming up in about 2 weeks, starting on the 25th, we're having a sort of 2.5-day camp out with the whole district, and it's called the Campery. And we're going to be doing a bunch of games, like team building and survival and camping skills, like fire building and lashing and knot tying and stuff like that. And so that's going to be really cool.
Hey, my name is Jack Kleinsesser from Troop 26. This summer we're going to go to Cherry Valley, which is in Catalina Island. It's a summer camp for anyone who's in Boy Scouts, and it's pretty cool. We do lots of water. It's right there by the ocean, so do lots of water sports and stuff, and get a lot of other cool merit badges done, like rifle and archery and stuff like that.
Well, good. You guys going to hang around for Eagle? You're going to do it?
My Eagle Board of Review. Thursday.
Wonderful. Very good. My guest to present it. This is an honorary proclamation recognizing April 2008 as the month of the child and child abuse prevention. And I would invite Michelle Hoffmeister. Michelle, are you here? Do we have a stand-in for Michelle? Okay. Well, we have all these kids in the audience. Well, we'll hold this then. Is there anyone representing San Luis Obispo County Child Care Planning Council? Okay, we will hold this and then perhaps give this at our next council meeting. And, of course, a good adjunct city clerk would have caught this beforehand. But
I called and she said she was going to be here.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
All right, we will move ahead then to item six, agenda review. Move that all ordinances presented for introduction or adoption be read in title only and all further readings be waived.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion. Hearing none. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. That will take us to item 7, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for any member of the public to come forward with any comments, suggestions, recommendations on items that are not posted on this evening's agenda. The Brown Act restricts the council from taking any action on items not on the agenda. We would ask that you be mindful of the three-minute rule. Please address the council as one body. Anyone would like to come forward during community comment? Okay. How are you, Maddie?
Well, I'm Maddie Quaglino from the Aurora Grande United Methodist Children's Center, and we wanted to present the mayor with a great big thank you for helping our build day. We had a community build project, and the mayor came, and he put forth great effort, and we had wonderful pictures, and we want to present him with a CD of his efforts and also pictures from the children in representation of the Proclamation for Month of the Young Child. We have artwork and also an invitation to a barbecue fundraiser at our school that will be held on April 20th from 11:30 to 2:30.
I think I commented when I was out at the site that I don't think I've ever seen such a compact community project bring in so many volunteers. It was really a labor of love, and everyone contributed to it, and it turned out pretty darn nice. So, great. So thank you. Thanks for having the kids here. Okay, we have some artwork for the walls. Okay, we will move to, is there any other community comments? All right, we'll close community comments and suggestions. We'll move to item 8, and that is our consent agenda. Consent agenda, if you're following along on our council agenda, is normally a group of items that the council approves in one motion, unless there are individual items that the council would like to pull for individual clarification or separate action. This is also an opportunity for members of the audience to come forward on any item that is on consent and comment on that item. And this evening, we are referring to council or consent agenda items 8A through 8H. So at this time, I would ask if there is anyone in the audience who would like to come forward and comment on any of those consent items, this would be an opportunity for you to do so. Okay, seeing none, we will close community public comment on the consent agenda and bring this back to the council. What is the will of the council? Any items this evening to pull? No? If not, I will entertain a motion for approval of consent items 8A through 8H.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Anything to be read in there this evening?
No, Mayor Ferrara. I'm going to be very deep when I'm the city attorney, and I'm going to go very light when I'm the clerk. Okay. No, Mayor Ferrara.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. With that, then, we'll have roll call.
Council Board Member Costello?
Yes.
Council Board Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Council Board Member Arnold?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Vice Chair Fellows?
Yes.
Mayor Chair Ferrara?
Yes. Thank you, Tim. Okay, that takes us to item 9, public hearings. We have none this evening. Item 10 is continued business. We have none. Item 11 is new business. 11A is consideration of appointment of a City Council Audit Oversight Committee. That sounds very important.
We don't have any idea who's going to be on there, right?
I don't know why these two guys who were sick showed up.
Beginning in fiscal year 2007-2008, auditors of California cities must comply with the requirements of Statements on Auditing Standards Number 114, also known as SAS Number 114. This is titled The Auditor's Communication with Those Charged with Governance. Statements on Auditing Standards are issued by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants, or otherwise known AICPA, and apply to all industries in connection with a financial statement audit. SAS number 114 distinguishes between those charged with governance, which would be the city council, and management, which would be the city manager and management. The city council meet its financial reporting oversight. So tonight we'd like the council to approve the formation of the city council audit oversight subcommittee and to appoint one or two council members to the subcommittee.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Angie? No? All right. Any volunteers for the subcommittee? First of all, anyone have any issues with the formation of the committee? No? All right. Let's do this. First of all, let me go to the public. This is not a public hearing, but we typically allow members of the audience to have input on all important council member items. Anyone would like to come forward and comment on this particular item? Okay. Seeing none, we will come back to the council. Why don't we go ahead and start with Councilmember Guthrie? And the first issue is the formation of the committee itself, and then we'll deal with the membership of the subcommittee, whether it's one or two, and who among us might be interested in volunteering.
Okay, yeah, who's among us? But yeah, I think, I mean, clearly state law requires we do it, so there's really not much option to not form. But I also think that given the kind of jargon that comes back in the audit, that it might very well be to have a council person, independent of the state requirement, having a council person involved in some of the discussions to just sort of translate it into at least more normal language than we usually get, I think is probably inappropriate. So on that particular part of it, yes, I think we should form the committee.
Okay, good. Councilmember Arnold?
Yes, I think we should form the committee, and I think Councilman Guthrie is the most obvious choice.
Is your mic on?
No, it's not. Okay. I'm coughing at her. I have no problem supporting this, and as I said, I think Councilman Guthrie is obviously our number cruncher up here, so I can definitely support him.
Okay, we're going to do this in two motions. Councilmember Costello.
I have no problem with the committee being formed. I think that it's a good thing. We have to comply anyway, and certainly get a little more information is never a bad thing. So okay. I think we should go forward.
You don't need an exorcist or anything. Okay.
No, I will be singing.
All right.
Later.
Mayor Pro Tem.
I have no problem with.
Okay.
I have no problem with forming the committee or the oversight committee, as well as apparently Councilman Guthrie is willing to do it, so I think he's a good choice. He is our number cruncher.
Okay. All right. I have no issue at all with forming the committee. It's clearly something we should do. I think it's a great idea, and I'll entertain a motion first for the formation of the committee itself.
I'll move that we form a council audit oversight committee.
Okay. And a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Shows how tricky this could be. I didn't hear who made the second. Joe. Councilmember Guthrie.
Yes.
Councilmember Costello.
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fellows.
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara.
Yes. Okay. Now the issue of the membership. They're actually
going to be the alternate.
Okay, then it looks like a motion is forming for Councilmember Guthrie to be the primary and Councilmember Costello to be the alternate. Is that right? I'll make that a motion. Is there a second? Okay. Any discussion? Any further discussion? All right. Once again, Tim.
Mayor Ferrara?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
And Mayor Pro Tem Fellows?
Yes.
All right, very good. Thank you for your willingness to participate. And moving right along, we will now, thank you, Angie, we'll go to 11B, consideration to approve and prioritize the citywide sidewalk projects.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm here tonight to present staff recommendations on citywide sidewalk projects. The bike and pedestrian plan, which was one of the items, was approved by the council November 28, 2006. And this document listed numerous projects to improve pedestrian circulation. City's capital improvement program was also consulted. There was several projects that were incorporated into our recommendations from that, as well as some field review to come up with some additional projects to include. City Council approved the criteria for prioritizing the sidewalks at their October 9, 2007 meeting. Staff utilized this criteria to develop the list, and and staff also included a criteria for eligibility for grant funding as part of the criteria. The table to use to prioritize the projects is included in your staff report. This will be a tool to help staff develop a capital improvement program. Approving this table does not limit the city to just those projects on there or the order with which they are prioritized in that table. Council will retain the ultimate authority to either add or remove projects and the priority with which they are on the table. Here's the first 3 years of the capital improvement program based on the project priority. And then there's the two additional years after that. The city applied for and received a Safe Routes to School grant for the improvement of sidewalk on Crown Hill between along Crown Hill for Paulding Middle School. The grant for this project requires the city to match 10% of the funds, which is part of the action you'll take tonight. Going through some of the projects, this is a picture of the intersection of Montego and Hillcrest. The project is proposed to install sidewalk coming up Hillcrest from El Camino Real on the south side and connect to, on the east side and connect to the sidewalk that's existing on the south side of Montego to give a complete connection to Ocean. Right-hand photo is between Paulding Middle School and the intersection with 227, which is also part of that project. The next project on the list is South Elm Street. There's three locations that sidewalk is lacking. In the upper left photo is from Poplar Street to Sunset Avenue on the east side of South Elm. The upper right photo is the southeast corner of Ash and Elm Street, and there's actually, I was fortunate when I took the picture, there's actually a pedestrian happened to walk in the travel lane. You can kind of see him right there. The two lower photos are of South Elm at the Pike, and there's pedestrians using the travel lane in this photo to make it down to the Pike. This will also be challenging because the homes are right on the traveled way, so trying to incorporate sidewalk and not adversely impacting the homes is going to be a challenge. Tally-ho infill. There's already curb and gutter established the whole length of Tally-ho. This will be a project to infill the sporadic home frontages that do not have or do not currently have sidewalk. This is a picture of East Grand Avenue between Bell Street and Oak Street. As you can see, because of tree wells and stuff, the sidewalk is narrow and so provide a wider, more user-friendly sidewalk. This is a picture of Orchard Street between West Cherry and Pilgrim Way. It's on the east side of Orchard. Essentially, curb and gutter, again, is already established. It'll be simply installing sidewalk along that frontage. In addition, there's also a small portion on the west side of Orchard adjacent to Fair Oaks that will also be included. This is West Branch Street. The left photo is looking west from Rodeo Drive. Sidewalk extends through the frontage of St. Pat's School, but then there's no sidewalk within the dirt field immediately adjacent to the intersection. The photo on the right is looking from Rodeo to the driveway at the South County Center. This project is to extend the sidewalk all the way to give a pedestrian connection to the South County Center. Crown Hill, McKinley, May, LaPointe Street. The first photo on the right is at Harrison and McKinley on the east side of McKinley looking north. As you can see, there's not even curb and gutter there, so it's in badly need of repair and installation. The upper left hand is looking at the intersection of LaPointe and McKinley. Again, there's no curb and gutter established, so grades will have to be established as part of the project. And the lower right is May Street, one of the few small areas of May that does not have sidewalk, but this should be an easy task since curb and gutter grades and sidewalk grades are already established on both sides of this frontage. This is James Way, the only section of James Way that's lacking sidewalk. It's on the east side of,
North. We'll start with Councilmember Guthrie.
Let's start with going to the Crown Hill. How confident are you guys in the price of the Crown Hill project that you're going to be able to get it done for $390,000, whatever that is? It just strikes me as...
Do you have any? I haven't been involved with that at all.
I mean, that's the department's current estimate. I'm not sure I have it.
I did talk to Don about a little bit, and he did sort of express that there's some pretty serious difficulties there, both with right of way and with some of the design issues. And he was talking about that we might not be able to do it all. It just occurs to me that if money's the issue that we're not able to do it, there's almost no point in not having continuous sidewalk. So I assume that you would come back to us if you're not able to do it. That looking for the additional funding.
Well, yeah, and then the purpose of the priority list is to kind of establish those in a priority based on the money we have. We have set up a practice in the 5-year plan. We're going to be budgeting money each year for those projects. So probably if we were short of money on one project, it would just delay the others, but we'd keep going down the priority list in the same order.
So by approving tonight the $32,000, if it turns out they can't get it from that, we're not stopping that project if, in fact, you can't get it done for that much money.
Right. We'll want to complete each project before we move on to the next one.
Okay. And the second, can you put up the pictures on Elm Street and the Pike? Well, I guess they're all Elm Street or all together there. That's it right there. You don't have pictures of the west side of the road, but actually the west side of Elm Street is probably the easier section to get a contiguous sidewalk. There's about three homes that are missing on the what would be the left side of this picture, and you don't have the problem with the home popping out on the road. And I would just say if we can include that, that's actually a simpler solution for the connection to Fairgrove School. So I think we should include that as an alternative.
Okay.
Because you're right, this is practically impossible to get around this one home because you'd have sidewalk almost to their front door. The second thing I want to point out, and this is at the other end, is these are listed together, these two, this section here at Ash Street and this section here that's up at Sunset. This part up here at Sunset has a huge right-of-way issue. I think, as you guys know, because of the fencing that's there, this is a relatively simple piece. So when we get to this, which is kind of far down on the priority list, I don't think it's on this year's list, but when we get to that, we probably should decouple those because the one's relatively simple to accomplish, but the other one's going to be very difficult. So I realize that it is just prioritized, but I just want to point that out that that's in everybody's thinking that if we can't accomplish the whole deal, we should do the part of that that we can do easily.
There is a little right-of-way issue with even the Elm and Ash, because the property line is actually almost at the edge of pavement. But at least we're not challenged with the fact that the homes are right on top of the street.
Or tearing down the people's fence. Yeah. Okay. Those are my only questions.
Okay. Councilmember Costello.
Thank you. Does this list that we have in our staff report contain all of the locations in the city that don't have sidewalks?
Every location that staff thought it would be feasible to actually ultimately install sidewalk.
And I noticed that we've got about
a criteria system to establish an initial draft list, but we want to get feedback if you'd like to change any of these priorities based on what you feel are the community priorities.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem?
Yeah. Victor, can we go back to Crown Hill for a minute? I feel the same way that Councilman Guthrie does. In fact, as I recall, of course, you have to raise the sidewalk a bit above the gutter so the water won't run down, and then the driveway apron goes up a little bit, and then if you have a driveway that goes down, you have to hump the driveway up a bit. How are you going to do that? How are you going to fit that in? Aren't there two or three homes there that have very steep driveways that go down below grade?
Yeah, and that's kind of why this lower left photo is in there, because that's kind of looks like to be one of the most challenging, because even though the elevation difference isn't as drastic as some of the other homes seem to have more setback to the garage to be able to make up the difference. So, I mean, that is one thing that's going to have to be taken into consideration. And how it's going to be done quite yet, I don't know.
Thank you.
We'll figure it out.
Well, that's my only question right now. Oh, no, I'm sorry. One more. What about parkways? When you're going down Orchard and you have that huge liquid amber, whatever tree that is, tulip tree, it's pretty close to the curb, and I think it's lifted the curb. I hate to see it go, obviously. You're going to have a parkway there, strip of lawn with a tree in the parkway?
It would probably be consistent with whatever's on the other side of West Cherry, which I believe there was a parkway, so there would probably be a parkway included here. So we'd have to look at what mitigations we could do to not take out the tree in order to accomplish the sidewalk. Okay.
Thank you.
That's all. Well, I had a question, Victor, on this slide. And I know that that Orchard Street, that whole tract back there, has been on our list for the pavement management plan for resurfacing. Has that happened yet?
Excuse me, which street again?
It would be that whole area back there, Orchard Street, West Cherry, that whole tract back in there is woefully in need of resurfacing. Has that happened yet with our pavement management plan?
No, the resurfacing hasn't, and I'm not quite sure where it is within the queue of the payment management.
You have info on that, Mike?
Yeah. Mike Lynn, Assistant City Engineer. Actually, it's about 3 years out, because we took a lot of money this year to do James Way, as we mentioned in the staff report. Next year would be El Camino. Then the following year, if funds are available, it would be allocated to that neighborhood. And there are about three streets that are in pretty miserable condition.
Okay, they are in pretty bad shape. And the only reason why I mention that is whether or not it would be something that we would coordinate with sidewalks, if we would consider doing those projects separately or try and coordinate it so they'd be done simultaneously.
Okay. That's a good point, because you always want the curb and gutter if you have to replace it before the paving.
Right.
So you have something to pave to. So we'll take that in consideration.
Just a note. And then, thank you. And then okay, any other questions or clarifications on the staff report? All right, once again, this is not a public hearing, but any member of the audience, this is a school issue now, you guys, in some cases. So anyone have input on this item, feel free. Okay, no one? All right. We'll close public comment, and then we'll bring this back, and we'll start with Councilmember Arnold.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think your point was very, very good in that when we talk about Crown Hill, we really do need to look at the fact that the majority of the funds here, which is going to be a very expensive project, are being paid for by the state. So I definitely think that it's a very important route that should be have the sidewalks constructed. So I can support staff's recommendation tonight. And if I understand correctly, when we move down the chart here, as projects come due, we're going to be presented again with the opportunity to fund them. So the fact that we may be a little concerned with how things have been prioritized right now, I think we're specifically looking at spending the money tonight for Crown Hill. And so I can definitely support as proposed. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Costello?
I can echo what Ed has said about the issues here. But first of all, we do have the safe routes funding available, so that the Crown Hill area is going to have to be attacked first and dealt with first, and we will need to find the engineering solution to that. And I do have some questions about some of the other priorities as we get a little bit further down the line. I think we need to get to all of these issues as quickly as we can, but I have no problems with going forward with what we've got in front of us tonight.
Okay. Thank you. Councilmember Guthrie.
Yeah, to echo, I mean, obviously, if we have the grant funding we need to do, but I think beyond that, I think if we look at Crown Hill, Crown Hill's probably, from a public safety and public use standpoint, probably the most critical sidewalk that's undone in the city. And we should move forward with that as quickly as we can. I mean, we have right now the instruction, as we were told at council's meeting about 3 months ago, the instruction for the school districts, they don't want children to walk up that street because there's no safe place for them to be as they're walking up. So I think it's really essential that as soon as possible we do this. So I can certainly support the priorities as put forward this evening and whatever funding it takes to put together Crown Hill.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem.
Thank you. Mike and Victor, I sure appreciate the use of the criteria system to make sure this was the process was as fair as possible. I think you did a good job on that. I definitely want to push for parkways as this moves along, so we have a patch of green that breaks up the hardscape between the asphalt and the concrete, so wherever possible, parkways. I'm also very pleased to see that Tally-Ho's on the list for next fiscal year. Now that gas prices are as high as they are, I walk into the village or I jog at least three or four times a week, and it almost never fails that there's a mom pushing a stroller in the traffic lane, and if there's a car or truck parked at the curb, they're literally out in traffic, and that's got to go. And so I'm glad that the system worked out, that Tally-Ho is going to be fixed pretty soon. So I support the project. It's about public safety, and let's go ahead on it.
Okay. Thank you. I'll reinforce what's already been said. I do take another shot at the list based on limited funds. And if that has to happen, so be it. But it's good that we have the inventory done and we have it available to us to make those decisions down the line. So I can support this as well. And with that, I'll entertain a motion.
Mayor Ferrara, I move that the council approve the recommended prioritization and list of sidewalk projects for inclusion in the city's capital improvement program. One motion or two?
We can do one.
That can be done as a single motion.
Yes.
All right. And secondly, approve matching funds in the amount of $34,290 for the Paulding Middle School project.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Actually, we might be able to get three motions out of this if we dissect it enough. What do you think? No, we'll do just one.
I was going to recommend against that.
roll call, Tim.
Mayor Pro Tem Fellows.
Do we have discussion?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm for it.
Councilmember Guthrie?
Yes.
Councilmember Arnold?
Yes.
Councilmember Costello?
Yes.
And Mayor Ferrara?
Yes, thank you. All right, that takes us to item 12, City Council Member Items. We have none published this evening. However, under council communication, we may want to come back and decide some issues here, Steve. We'll see how it goes. I'd like your input and maybe Tim's input on how we might fast-track an item that the Mayor Pro Tem has, if it's possible. Item 14, council communications. Before I turn it over to the mayor pro tem on this, I just want to indicate that I did have an opportunity, and I believe Councilmember Arnold made it down. Did you make it down to the policy committee?
No, I was sick.
Oh, okay. And you were? In Sacramento. In Sacramento, yeah. So even though we have three members of our council assigned to League of Cities policy committees, I was down at the Ontario Convention Center for the Public Safety Policy Committee and attended that. And with that, any other council communication? All right. Okay. Councilmember Costello?
I'm not completely sure that this is the place to insert this, but since I was not here at the last meeting, I just wanted to bring to the public's attention. Thank you. I want to bring the public's attention that the Air Pollution Control District is in the process of doing a lawnmower exchange program again this year. You can trade in your gas-powered lawnmower and pay $160 and get a electrical Newton mower. If you want to participate in this program, you can either go online to www.c5.org/mower or simply call the APCD at 781-1003. And if you're at all interested, I do encourage you to participate. I did myself
polls that about as big as your thumb or your pinky finger when they're adults, but when they're young, it's when there's really a problem, because of course they have a larval stage that's pretty much microscopic. You can't see it. It can hide, live in the bilge of boats. It can be floating in the water of the boats. It could be attached in the stage between larval and adults to water plants that are on a boat's trailer. Once the quagga mussels and the other its cousin, the zebra mussels, get into a lake or a river, they clog pipes. They can't. It's amazing. They're so prolific in the Great Lakes that they've been measured to have 750,000 mussels in a square meter, a foot thick. So they're a problem. They can be a huge problem as far as our budget goes in the next few years if they end up in Lopez Lake. So what was in our packet, what I brought back from the RAC meeting, was this report from the county as far as pretty much educate us, re-educate us as to what they're all about. And I think it's interesting to note that they were found in Lake Mead, where actually one expert on mussels said they'll never make it in the West Coast. They can't live in Lake Mead. Well, they're there. They were found in Lake Mead in a number of spots back in January 07. Since then, in the intervening, 15 months, they've moved down through the river and into such places as San Francisco by January of 08. About finally by the end of the end of last year and beginning of this year, it looks like six or seven lakes and rivers and so on in San Diego reservoirs, also in a few other counties, and they've spread out to places in Arizona. And that's all in just about 15 months. So it was considered very important at the RAC meeting that the County Board of Supervisors hear this, put that on their agenda, and hear what the RAC has to say about the critters. If they're not stopped from coming in on a boat or some other way, like with fish that are being brought in by fish hatcheries and so on, we'll end up spending in the next few years millions of dollars trying to keep our waterways clean, our pipes clean, our valves clean, and so on. So what I have done since I was at the RAC meeting, I've spoken with the county parks head, Pete Jenny, and taken some notes. I've given my colleagues copies of my notes. I called Cacho's office, our 3rd District Supervisor, 4th District Supervisor, and got a report that is on the dais as well for us to consider or take a look at, and then maybe we can talk about it at a different time. But this report is ancient history, is from May of 2007. That's back when some of the experts thought they'd never make it to the West Coast, and they've certainly spread like crazy since then. So there's a lot of good information on here on how we might public works and parks persons might control the quaggas and keep them from entering our Lopez Lake if they haven't already.
If I might make a point here, at our last Zone 3 meeting in late in March, this issue was introduced to us, and they're going to bring more information to us at Zone 3 about this. They made a preliminary presentation, not nearly as much information as you've given us today, but the issue was brought forward to us as something with the same kind of warning that if we're not careful with this, it will cause problems with our drinking water systems and how we process the water through them. So, I think it's something we should be discussing.
The concern I had at the RAC meeting, the Water Resources Advisory Committee meeting, shortened to RAC, was that the supervisors may not get it on their agenda until May or June. So that's why I called the head of the Parks Department and so on. And they're really taking quite strong measures, looking for high-pressure steam sterilizers to clean up the boats with as they come in or want to enter the lake and so on. What I wanted, hope that we could do in the next week or two before we can discuss it again, is go online, look at this, read this, and figure out if we're satisfied, because we get our water from the county-run lake, Lopez Lake, if we're satisfied that the county's doing enough to prevent the quagga mussels from entering Lopez Lake, and if they're not, what else can be done? A couple of lakes south of here have been closed to boats temporarily until there's a setup to sterilize boats, not just inspect, not just inform, but sterilize the boats as they come in with steam. We don't have that set up yet. Pete Jenny, the head of the Parks Department in the county, said maybe within a week we'll have that. So do you have any questions about this? Do you have any qualms with looking it over and trying to decide if the measures are adequate that are being taken?
Well, beyond that, my question to you, Steve, and Tim, was that this is obviously a serious issue. It's an issue that that needs to be addressed in a timely manner, and I think there has to be. I'd like to see this expedited on our agenda, without going through the typical council member items issue, and then. But I'd like to see us have this thing in front of us fairly quickly, so that we can, at a minimum, go on record that some kind of action needs to be taken, because the fiscal liability here is significant for us. I'm thinking we need to get something moving fairly quickly on this.
Whatever direction you'd like us to take, I was going to suggest, we need to kind of limit discussion this evening because it hasn't been agendized, but if we wanted to just put it under council member items for next meeting, and then under that, as long as it's agendized, you can really provide any direction at that point, unless you'd like some kind of resolution or something formal prepared, and you could just let me know this evening, and we could have that on the agenda. A lot of the direction is probably most appropriate to go to Council Member Costello, because I think a lot of the action is going to come out of the Zone 3 board as far as any activities or actions that are taken regarding this issue at Lopez Lake. But.
Well, I agree with that, but I think the action, whatever action we take, I think the city needs to make a strong statement. That's our drinking water. Somehow or another, we need to get ourselves in a position on the record of requesting that some action be taken now to preserve that source for us, because I don't want to see us in a position in another year or so of getting faced with charges for maintaining a water distribution system and a treatment plant that's been overrun by these things. So that's why I'm saying we need to fast track this.
I'm speaking as the city attorney now. We could certainly bring it back as a discussion item the next meeting, and I'm sure I'm going to get kicked under the table now. probably not with underlying resolutions, but you could provide us with some very specific direction then.
You kick me?
No, I was going to say, I mean, there's a couple options. We could prepare a resolution for consideration, or you could just put in our council member items and then provide direction at the meeting for us to prepare a letter based on what
it was. Well, I would feel more comfortable if we could somehow, by fast track, what I'm meaning, I understand we have a protocol that we put in place, but this is may well be an exception to it. And there needs to be a fallback where we can expedite items onto our agenda in some other fashion besides listing them under city council member items. I like the idea of having a discussion item where we can give specific direction.
Yeah, no, I wasn't suggesting that it would be on council member items and then come back again the following. I'm saying under council member items, you could provide us direction to prepare a letter. You just wouldn't be, if you wanted actually a formal resolution, that would have to come back. So you could let us know tonight if your preference is to have a resolution prepared, or under council member items, since it would be agendized, you could provide a specific information to be put into a letter.
Okay. How do the rest of you feel about a resolution?
I guess the question I have is if, this coughing, I'm keep turning it off. If the mayor wanted to meet with you, because as long as we don't have a quorum, and propose what he'd like to see in a resolution, then that could be brought back at that point, and we could have discussion on it if we wanted to modify, but we would have something at that point. So am I correct on that one?
Yeah. Yes, you are.
Okay, so I think that would be my preference.
I think that we should go ahead and get ready to direct staff to send a letter and have that letter go forward as at the next meeting. I don't know that this is going to need a resolution. I think we're going to let the county know what our concerns are. We're going to, you know, we're beginning to discuss this in Zone 3. This was the first we'd heard of it, and then we're going to come back. And we did have a minor presentation on what limited options they had right now. I hadn't heard about the steam being a week away. But I think if we provide direction to staff to go with our concerns to county now, that's fine. I think that's great. If we need to come back and do a resolution after that, we can do that.
How do the rest of you feel?
Yeah, I think it definitely has to come back as a discussion. I do kind of wonder beyond the letter what kind of action we can possibly take, but clearly let's have it as a discussion item so we don't have that confusion over what we can say and what we can't.
Sure. You brought this.
I wish we could do it yesterday, but if 2 weeks from now is as soon as we can do it, let's do it next meeting.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is that this will be a two-stage process. We'll go with putting this on the agenda as a discussion item, and then possible action might be a letter or a resolution, but we'll figure that out when it comes back to us. Does that pretty much sum it up?
We can certainly skip the step and have a letter available. I mean, that's not that difficult.
I see a downside to having the mayor potentially work and maybe having Councilman Costello or Councilman Feller, as long as just one other person helped them draft a letter so we have a letter available potentially.
Well, the letter, I think we all agree too. The question was, do we fire off with the resolution first? And what I'm hearing is that we may want to do the letter and then make a determination at that point whether a resolution is necessary as a follow-up. Is that what you
would? I think, staff, we have enough information based on just this that we'll do some additional research and come up with a recommendation on what we think the appropriate step would be, and we can consult with and get additional input.
Yeah, and I'd just as soon check in on that process and along with the mayor pro tem, if you don't mind. Okay.
One additional item, as my swan song as the deputy clerk, we will make that available, the distribution that council member, Mayor Pro Tem Fellows made to the council. It'll be across the street tomorrow morning for the public to review. Excuse me, it's in the front now? Is it? Okay. So it's available for public review.
Okay. We're sure glad you're back, Kelly. Roll call was a real experience tonight. No, Tim did a good job. Okay, any other city council member items? Okay. City manager items?
Just wanted to formally recognize and appreciate the city attorney for such a great job here. I see some new consolidation budget saving efforts in the works here.
Okay, staff, any staff communication? None?
No, sir.
All right, we'll go to item 16, community comments and suggestions. This is an opportunity for any of the member of the audience to come forward on any item, whether it's on this evening's agenda or not. Anyone would like to come forward? Recommendations, suggestions? No one? Okay. You guys were sure doing enough talking before the meeting. Nobody? All right. Then we'll close our final community comments and suggestions, and that'll take us to item 17, which is adjournment. Okay. Thank you, everyone.